Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello folks, here's a new episode, and in this one, Amber and Paul join me to talk more about poshness, posh accents, and posh celebrities. This episode is full of different British accents, posh, RP, and regional ones too, like London and Northern Ireland. It's also full of comedy, and I found myself laughing out loud while editing this, especially the interview with the football player that Paul tells us about. I hope you enjoy it. Check out the website for all the videos of celebrities that you will hear. We look forward to reading your comments. This episode is sponsored by iTalki. If you're looking for a speaking partner or English teacher for regular practice to improve your fluency, then look no further. With iTalki, you can find loads of people for Skype lessons and conversations based on your timetable and your language needs. And when you buy some talking time, because you're a listener to my podcast, iTalki will send you a voucher for a free lesson. Go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. So, hello everyone. I'm sitting here with none other than Amber and Paul. Amber and Paul are on the podcast.
You know what? I haven't heard the jingle because you put it in afterwards.
I'll play it now for you.
Go on in.
Because normally I would put it in before.
Yeah, you put it in post-production.
But I can do it now, Paul, just for you.
Yeah, man.
I want to hear it as well.
I want to hear it live.
Here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So,
you should do a non-censored version of that. Be like Amber and Paul are on a podcast, and then the final one is like Amber and Paul are on another fucking podcast.
You reckon?
Yeah. Actually,
X-rated version.
I was listening to it, I thought that's what you did say.
Really?
I just dirtied it up in my own mind.
You think I'm saying Amber and Paul are on the fucking podcast? Is that what you think it is?
I thought it was.
Should be that. That's funny.
Amber and Paul are on another podcast.
Amber and Paul are on the fucking podcast.
On another fucking podcast.
Okay.
We've started swearing off the bat.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I like how your disclaimer before every one of these episodes with us is like, there will be some strong language.
Yes.
So
I think everyone's fine with it as well. No one minds about strong
everyone
language.
Everyone loves it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Amber and Paul are on the fucking podcast again. And so let's see.
Ask us what we're up to.
No, because
we're
not doing that. I'm not.
We'll go off. Yeah.
We'll get lost in a tangent. So Amber, what do you know? What we're going to talk about?
Poshness.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to close the window behind me. While I'm doing it, I did two episodes recently.
I listened to a bit.
You listened to a bit.
Okay.
Can you just sort of fill Paul in on what I talked about in that episode? You listened to a bit. The 2 minutes that you listened to, you can just summarise what that was about. Close the window.
All right.
Well, Luke talked about poshness and this idea that poshness is more complicated than just having money. You know?
Yeah.
You can be posh, and you probably do have money, but you can also be poor, because poshness is about breeding and heritage and where you're from. And if you've got lots of cash, Victoria Beckham, for example.
Yes.
And David, lots of
They're
money.
Not posh.
Not
yeah.
posh. No. So it's sort of nebulous. What does it mean to be
yeah,
posh?
Yeah, it's not really linked to money.
Nebulous.
Mm-hmm.
Nice word.
Yeah. It's twice you've used that word on a podcast where the three of us have been.
What?
Yeah, we had a whole discussion about it in one episode, the whole nebulous thing. Or I'm just making that up, but I've had the discussion with you about nebulous. Whatever.
Did you listen to the conversation I had with Sarah?
Oh, it might have been the Sarah episode. Sorry, did I blow you out?
You just exploded my eardrums. Oh, it might have been.
Hey, I think it was the Sarah
that
episode.
Was what it was.
I think that's what it was.
We ended up talking about the word nebulous.
Yeah. We do hang out together
nebulous.
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
Nebulous, not nebulous. You said nebulous, did you?
Yeah.
Not nebula.
Not nebula.
Because that's a character from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, right? No. Don't know that.
Okay.
So, yeah, posh people, yeah, it's all down to the accent, isn't it?
Is it all about the accent? How do you know? When you meet someone, how do you know they're posh?
Accent.
Okay.
Not just accent.
But I've not met anyone who doesn't have a posh accent who's posh. Like, I've never met anyone who's like, oh, mate, do you know what I mean? But is is very posh in the stance and the way they're dressed and all that.
But what you do find is you find posh people who speak maybe like me. They don't have the, oh, mate, they don't have the whole regional accent stuff, but they just sort of sound like a normal person. I'm assuming that you agree that I'm a normal person here.
Yes.
But when you look at their family tree and their background, you realise they are very posh.
Well, that's why you get those little clues. You know, there's just little clues that they drop when they're speaking that make you realise they're... Because there's posh accents, like Luke and me and you, we're kind of RP, but we're not posh.
Yeah, but that's... I think you can. I can tell that through your accents.
Yeah,
that
and then you...
That you're not like the... Because we've just... We're editing the episode on England, Stereo Trip.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because we talk about that a little bit in there. In the sense that we're interviewing Ian Moore, who clearly is not posh, but then we're interviewing somebody else who is very posh. And I sat down and had tea with Penny Mountbatten, who is... I can't remember exactly who she was married to. She was married to one of... one of the Mountbattens, the Philip Mount, you know, yeah, the part of the royal
Mountbatten,
family.
One of the famous Mountbattens was Prince Charles's godfather.
Well, his dad, is a Mountbatten.
Is Philip a Mountbatten?
Philip Mountbatten, yeah.
Oh, right.
Until you're not watching The Crown, are you?
No, you're not watching The Crown. That's the only reason I know is because I've watched The Crown.
No, I totally have watched all of The Crown.
What?
Oh, really?
I just missed out on that, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, so Mountbatten is Philip,
very, very posh.
It's Philip's family.
It's like a royal family from Greece.
Yeah. And so she... The funny thing is that she was married to a Mountbatten who turned out... who came out and is gay,
right?
And he got remarried with a guy, and now she's very posh, like in the way that she speaks, and her mannerisms and stuff. It's not only the accent, but you can. It's very difficult to. So, I mean, I guess some people put it on, maybe.
Yeah, totally, absolutely, they do. Lots of people do.
Because they want to be a higher social strata.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in the episodes that I did, I talked about seven identifiers of poshness. There's poshness by poshness by birth. So, you know, your family tree, which is, let's say, the most important one. Maybe the only one, really.
Is it?
Yeah. True poshness is all about who you're...
Where are you from?
You know, your family tree. Then there's poshness of education, which is a big one. Like, which school did you go to? And if you went to... Even if you don't have an aristocratic background... If you went to Eton or Harrow or one of those public schools, then that kind of makes you posh in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, poshness by birth is the most sort of valuable one, the one where you score most points in that category. But poshness by education is a big one. Poshness of accent, poshness of wealth, although you can be rich and not be posh, but often poshness and wealth are associated with each other. Then there's the poshness
They are probably used to be. I think nowadays it's completely not the case.
Yeah, but...
Because if you look at the top richest people in the UK, none of them are probably posh.
Yeah, but then again, the establishment, the elite, the people who basically run the country, the people who go to the...
But they're all not the richest. That's the problem.
Not necessarily,
they're not all the richest, but they're wealthy.
They are of money, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's not just cash as well. It's
real
property.
Estate.
Property, yeah. So there's that. There's poshness of refined taste. So being into the fine arts and opera and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that's a very posh world, the world of the fine arts. And then there's the poshness of exuberant vulgarity, which is bling, which kind of is in contradiction with the previous category. But that kind of like showy displays of wealth can be quite posh. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that ain't posh.
No, you're thinking Chelsea housewives posh.
Yeah. People who
which is vulgar, showing off
that they're
rich.
Showing off their riches, yeah.
But then I thought about that, what you were saying, what you were saying about poshness.
Yeah.
But, and I've not seen the original seven, but there is a poshness of eccentricity.
Yeah.
Bling. Not vulgarity, but eccentricity. I mean, that's a very English sign of poshness.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I think so. How Because what's interesting to me is England is like the only place that I've ever been that has this thing.
Of posh people.
You've got them in Spain, haven't you?
They're everywhere, but in France, Britain, it's in France, you've got
the, yeah, in France, you've got the bourgeois, which is kind of the equivalent, but there's a very different, and this was again the through line through the whole documentary.
The English stereotype.
All the stereotypes were linked to social class. It was, you know, the first stereotype that we did was English people are all polite. The image that people have about English people being polite is the gentleman, the British gentleman with the top hat, with the thing, and that's linked to social class.
Yeah.
Food being shit. That's linked to the working class. Most of the country went through the Industrial Revolution, ate really bad food because we just needed fuel. What was the other one that we did? There was one about drinking tea. The way of drinking tea is defined by your social class. If you're really posh, you do 5 o'clock tea with the finger in the... whereas if you're normal or lower class, you have a mug. You know, it's a mug of tea like 5 times a day or whatever.
Yeah.
And music, it's different musical... revolutions were brought about because being against a certain social class, you know, the punk movement, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really interesting thing. Like, I'd never really thought about it before, that we're a country that's a lot more obsessed with this idea of social class than other countries.
Yeah.
Like in Spain, you've got rich people and poor people like you do in America, but there's not this thing.
But
I don't know.
Spain had fairly recent sort of big social changes, like the... there was a civil war in Spain, and there are certain big constitutional changes which sort of eradicated it, or at least sort of swept it under the carpet. Like France, you know,
who beheaded everyone.
Yeah, they chopped all the heads off the aristocrats and all that stuff. But there are still aristocratic families. It's just that they now have to live like everyone else, I think.
I think it's also involved in the institutions. After the revolution, there was this, like, we're all equal, you know, French, blah, 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 blah. But in England, there are, for example, like, clubs that you can join. If you've got lots of money, you can join, but you can only go to this level if your family has been a member of this club for more than 300 years.
And then you can only go to this level if you get a pig's head and do what David Cameron did.
But it's sort of like institutionalized, you know, this notion of class that, you know, you can never access this because you were not born to it. It's not about money. It is about... And that was never swept away by revolution or dictators or the rest of it.
Do you think the fact that we still have a monarchy, like, perpetuates our social class system?
Yeah, I think because... Well, I think it's just what, again, we learned through doing the documentary was there at the top of the social class system, and people aspire to be that kind of thing, so they try and behave in certain ways. And I think if we didn't have that, potentially
maybe, but it's also the other way around. Like, we are so attached to class, it feels so comforting in Britain. There's so much judgment, it's so sort of part of us that the monarchy, like, we couldn't get rid of them because I know we want them. They're a sort of symptom of our, you know.
So they're a symptom of us, not a symptom of them.
Yeah, I don't think they impose class structures upon us, rather we keep them in place because and the English like it.
Okay. Yeah, have you? We interviewed a guy called William Hansen, who's a really funny guy. Like, he comes across as a dick in everything that he does online. He's on Netflix, and he's like an etiquette teacher,
right?
And he had a really interesting point, which was something. He's like, within 7 seconds, you know, anywhere in the world, people judge you of who you are by the way you speak. It's just in England, we've got an extra level of, not only am I judging you on your appearance, I'm judging you in the class system as well, which doesn't exist really in other countries.
Right.
So it's a really interesting...
One question I wanted to ask you was, we kind of touched on it just earlier, but do you think that I'm posh? How would you rate me in terms of poshness?
Not posh.
No. Why not? What are the signifiers that show that I'm not?
You grew up in Birmingham? I'm sorry.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't actually grow up in Birmingham.
But wasn't that part of your life?
In the outskirts of Birmingham. But yeah, I used to spend quite a lot of time in Birmingham, like going to pubs and stuff.
You didn't go to a big public school. You didn't go to one of the top universities. Yeah, you don't have money. You don't have any money.
Not really.
And your family, are like solid upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not posh.
What do you think it is that makes my family upper middle class, as you say?
Your dad worked for the BBC.
My dad worked for the BBC, and he went to Oxford.
And he, yep, education was important to you. That's a very middle class thing. So education is important for you. Yeah. He, you know, he's a journalist. He went to Oxford, yeah. BBC, you know, establishment.
But not, it's not proper posh because, yeah, he didn't go to a public school. Neither did I. And we don't have the old money in the family and all that stuff. Accent?
Just average RP for you.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Do you think I sound posh for some people?
Sure, of course. I mean,
you could do for some people, yeah.
Definitely, but I don't think anyone with a sort of RP accent would listen to you and think, yeah. That sounds posh. You sound posh compared to someone from the north, possibly, if they're kind of teasing you, you sound a bit posh.
All right, you sound a bit posh, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Person,
or like posh. East London, Cockney.
Yeah.
To them, you'd sound posh.
Or you fucking posh, can't you?
Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking hell, getting down the street, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I went up on stage at the Whitechapel comedy night, and it's all Cockneys.
Yeah. They
Next up on the show, we've got some geezer from West London. And I go up and like, hello, everyone. Not that I speak like that. Tell us a joke, you posh twat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, if you listen to how you speak, although it's RP, if you put it next to, like, what's his name? Jack Whitehall.
Jack Whitehall.
Yeah.
It's almost worlds apart. Yeah. It doesn't feel close.
What does he sound like then?
He's got a bit of...
He's got the money.
The posh thing, and I can't remember who does a... I think it's Michael McIntyre that does a joke about this.
Yeah.
Who has a joke about, like, posh people, when they speak, their lips move independently to what they're saying. So they'll just be like, it's a really like a visual thing that it's difficult to do on audio. But if you look up, there's a thing where it's like there's a certain noise that posh people make after the end of their sentence. We're like,
yeah, I can imagine that.
But
yeah, I see. So you're recording a podcast, are you? Are you?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
But Michael McIntyre's quite posh as well.
Yeah, he's a little bit.
He's very middle class, upper mid. Like, he's just his voice. You're just like, ah, okay.
He's
cool.
Here. He went to like one of those private schools and stuff.
Hello,
like
yes.
Jack Whitehall as well. It's very hard to get. So you can copy like a stereotypical posh accent, which is, hey, hello, we're terribly, terribly posh, you know, that sort of thing, which is sort of doesn't exist anymore. Posh people these days, like young posh people of our age, they're more like sort of, they kind of speak like this, don't they? So
I'm on my gap year.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Gap year.
That's exactly what I was thinking
my gap year.
I played gap year on the podcast, so my listeners know all about gap year. But
he was so good.
He is the archetypical modern day posh person who's kind of like, oh, you know, so I'm just like recording a podcast, and I just bought this Zoom thing. Well, I didn't buy it, like, daddy bought it for me, and it's just like a totally great little device thing. You just like plug your microphones into it and just press record. And I mean, I've got no clue at all about technology.
That sounds a little bit like Jack Whitehall.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's it. But then that's also choice of words, like you said, daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a deliberate posh word.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Okay, so but it is sounds, and it's also choice of words and things like that. Yeah. All right.
And the things they're talking about.
What do you think of posh people when you go somewhere and you hear someone, you're in the pub and you hear someone go, so I think we're going to have like a couple of bottles of white wine, whatever you've got, and, you know, just, can we have four glasses, please? Great. Hey, Toby, don't worry, mate. I've got, just get a table outside, all right, guys? What would you think if you heard that guy?
Well, that specific one, I'd think, what a bell end.
But why?
Just because, I don't know, that it's just that
rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, just,
I'm speaking really loudly in the pub, guys, okay? Just get a seat outside in the pub, in the beer garden, all right, chaps?
But not too much in the sun, because off skin, I need to put some more. My first, you know, I think it's the same. You judge people by their voice. It's the same thing as soon as I hear, like, somebody behind me in a queue going, oh my god, this place is so amazing, I just want to go, oh fuck, shut up. But they could be really nice people. Do you know what I mean? That's the difference. Like, you have the initial judgment of, oh, he's a bell end, but maybe he's, do you know what I mean, like this William Hansen guy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Like, you watch a Netflix, he's on Netflix, like, coaching Americans how to be proper and do some stuff. But I think he's actually very ironic. Like, he does it in a kind of not in a serious way, but he's also like, I followed him on Twitter, and he has some funny things. So your initial reaction, gut 7-second reaction, is like, oh god, no.
Yeah.
I think it's about, you know, that posh voice you did was quite braying and loud, and And that's part of it. Like, posh people can be quite loud. And it's why it kind of gets your back up, is because it's about privilege. You know, mm-hmm. you hear the privilege. They feel the right to take up this space, to speak loudly, to order people around. Like, they've had, and you assume, and like rightly and wrongly, like that they've had the kind of easy ride. Mm-hmm. Like, they've just, and it does tend to be what, young white men, especially in that particular version
young there. Young white men wearing red trousers.
Wearing red trousers.
Cords.
Yeah. I'm wearing cords today, but they're not red. I didn't finish my seven criteria indicators of poshness. Right. One of them, the last ones, was the poshness of assumed superiority, which I think is quite a good one. Of just like that kind of like, you know, we are entitled to this, or we're kind of the privileged people and we deserve to be privileged. And
well, I had a scenario like that. I mean, this was in France, so I don't know, but it was a similar sort of thing that drives you nuts. Is where it was when I was working at Apple. And because I was able to travel, did you know that I worked at Apple, by the way? I don't think I've ever mentioned it before.
Did you really?
This is the first time hearing of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, absolutely spiffing. So
I was fortunate in the sense that I got to travel quite a lot. And so I became like platinum level membership with Hilton Hotels, with Air France. You know, you get the little black card. Yeah. You know, it's all very like, oh, cool. You
it's
know,
all posh.
It's
very
all
posh.
Bollocks. You don't get any. I mean, you become a dickhead. And so I was in the queue. So when you go to a Hilton Hotel, there's like four desks that are for normal people, and then you've got one desk which is for like Hilton Honors, gold members special. And above or whatever. Yeah, like you have with the airline, like you have with anything, right? Yeah. And so there was no one at that desk. There was one person at the four desks, and there was a queue of about 15 people for this one thing. So I got into the back of the queue like an English person, right? Yeah. I was just like, okay, cool, I'll join the queue, even though I've got the card, but no one's at that desk, so I went to. And then some prick who was dressed like that kind of like red corduroy, whatever, but he was older, he was like 45 or something.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, you know, sits in the, like, jumps in front of everyone, basically. Yeah. And, you know, no one's really saying anything. And at some stage, I'm like, yeah, sorry, the queue's back here is like, this is all in French. And he's like, yeah, but I'm gold. And I'm like,
whoa.
Yeah, you know, like, and it was that assumed superiority. It's like, I've got a card, therefore I pass in front of everyone. I'm like, mate, I don't care if you're gold. I'm platinum. Get to the back. And we had this massive argument, like this really loud argument where he just pushed in front of, like, he didn't, you know, I wasn't gonna punch him. Do you know what I mean?
You should have gone over and bitten him. Like, you're not gold. I just checked. And he's like, call the police.
Yeah.
Don't call the police. But he's not gold.
That seems like a behavior that you would have from potentially, that superiority of like, everything is should be given to me, so therefore I'm for money there.
But then on the flip side of that, posh people can be quite down to earth
and lovely.
Yeah. And I mean, they've also got that reputation because there's a certain element of poshness which is related to the countryside, and country people tend to be a bit more plain speaking and straightforward, and you know, this privilege is just part of their life, or living in a big house, and they are very good at just like being quite normal people. It's the, you know, maybe this guy was not a posho, but more of a nouveau riche.
Yeah. So that's another big thing. Yeah. There's like people who are like the aspiring classes or whatever, like middle class people who are aspiring to be posh. And they're often the ones who act terribly and give all posh people a bad name. So anyway, it's pretty complicated. What I did in the second episode of this series is to listen to some British celebrities and decide whether they are posh or not. Mm. And also look at their Wikipedia pages and see which school they went to and if they've got any aristocratic lineage. So do you want to do a bit of that? That's why we've got the headphones on, so just you can listen to these
bring it on.
People.
Let's do it.
What I think I'm going to do with you two, though, is just play you a clip of the person speaking without telling you who it is. So first of all, you've got to try and identify who this is.
Okay.
I'm terrible at this.
I love doing
this. I don't know who anyone is. Go on.
Yeah. So who is
Give it?
It
to me.
Who is it first? And then it's going to be a case of like judging them on whether they're posh,
posh or not,
based on the accent that you can hear. And then we will actually do some research.
Background research.
We'll get some intel.
It's going to be like politicians and celebrities. Yeah. Politicians, posh. Celebrities, not posh. Unless they're Labour.
So I'm just queuing this up to the right moment here. Okay, I hope he doesn't say the name of this person. This is from the Graham Norton show. All right, so three questions. Question one, who is it? Question two, does this person sound posh? And question three, well, after we've looked at the Wikipedia page, we can actually decide for sure.
Okay.
Here we go.
Go. Okay. It was in a very impromptu one, because I'd been... If somebody falls asleep next to me, it's dangerous, because I like to glue beards to them or draw tattoos or whatever it is. Pirates of the Caribbean beard, all that. And
wait a minute. Just to clarify what she said, whenever anyone falls asleep next to her, she likes to do things to them,
yeah,
like putting fake beards on them and painting their face and stuff. All right. Any idea who it is yet?
None.
No idea.
Okay. How does she sound?
Posh.
Posh.
Okay. Interesting. So let's hear her continuing to talk about what she does to people who fall asleep.
High five.
Yes.
You got that in stereo, posh, bam, through both.
Posh, 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 posh. So let's continue to listen to her talking about what she does to people who are unfortunate enough to fall asleep next to her.
I'd run out of things like that, and yet I was still after the rush of doing it.
I
got into bed, and I think I'd got a little, you know, one of those chocolates that you get by the bed.
Oh, yeah, in a hotel.
And I thought, how funny would it be if I just tucked it in between the person's buttocks while they were asleep?
What did she just say?
She's tucking a chocolate between someone's buttocks.
So I guess they're in a hotel, someone's fallen asleep next to her, and she's seen one of those little chocolates that they sometimes leave on the pillow of hotel bedrooms, beds. And she has decided, I wonder what would happen if I just tucked this in between the person's buttocks.
While they were sleeping.
There'd be a lot of chocolate mess.
It would be a lot of chocolate mess, wouldn't there? It would be pretty good, though, wouldn't it? Don't you think?
It depends if you were sleeping in that bed
as
well.
Yeah, true. But if that person just woke up, and they're like, oh, I feel a bit, and then, it would be a pretty good joke. Okay, still any idea?
Is it Olivia Colman?
It's not Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman?
She's not that posh.
She's not posh at all. She's got an accent. She's got a regional accent.
Does she?
Yes, sir.
The problem with her is I think she's going to be somebody who is in a, does something that she has a different voice when she does it.
She's an actress.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who she is. I definitely don't know.
Give us a clue.
I might know who she is if I see her face.
She's an English actress.
Yeah, I got that.
She's a brunette. She's been in some action movies. She's the daughter of a comic actor who was in a sitcom, a British sitcom.
Oh, Jane. What's her name? Berko. No, what's her name?
No, it's not Jane.
No.
Let's listen to a little bit more of what happened when she was, you know, playing tricks on a person sleeping next to her.
And it was really funny.
Isn't that so good?
It's so good. Yeah. And it just sort of came very organically. And my eyes fell on the chocolate and I kind of did that. I see the sleeping bottom here. And then I thought, I'm just going to do it. And I tucked it in. And I thought maybe I'd get in trouble in the morning. But it was a very fortuitous day, because this was the morning where the person was in a terrible rush and just went straight into the pants and the trousers and straight to work. Which didn't normally happen. So halfway through the day at work, there was the...
She's now doing the face of like someone realising that they've got something in their pants. I need to finish this story before we, you know, get to the details. It's quite a good story.
And then a kind of a bit of a scuttle backwards to the loo. And then the horror, horror, horror. I've done this without even feeling it.
Okay. I guess that's the end of the story there. So I'll tell you who it is. It's Kate Beckinsale.
That's the words I was looking for.
That's who you were talking about.
I was just like, where's it gone? You know me, I can't remember anything about names. Well, because we were just reading about her dad, because it's the anniversary, wasn't it, of his death. Yeah.
Her dad was, what was his name, Godber in Porridge.
Porridge.
Do you remember Porridge?
No.
Okay, it was great. Great, great, great show.
It was really good.
Yeah. So Kate Beckinsale, she sounds posh then, yeah?
Yeah, but I don't know what what does she look like?
She looks like him.
Oh, shit.
Hold on, I'll Google it. I'd see you have to turn your laptop around. Yeah. I'll just Google it on my phone.
Yeah. So she sounds posh, you reckon?
Yeah.
She does sound posh, yes.
Okay, what are the things that make her sound posh? Can you remember any specifics?
It was the way she said, and yet. There was a couple of vocabulary, nice vocabulary.
Fortuitous,
that's right, meaning, you know, lucky.
She could just be nicely educated, but she's...
Yeah, she looks posh.
She's got lovely vocabulary and just a couple of her words.
Yeah, I don't know who she is. I've never seen
her. The tone of her voice as well. She sounds like she's from that kind of Joan Collins kind of I don't know, world. Let's just hear a little clip and see if we can pull out any signifiers of poshness in her voice.
I'm just going to do it, and I tucked it in, and I thought maybe I'd...
I'm just going to do it, and I...
Well, the phrase tuck in a bit of... I don't know, just... You tuck in a shirt, but just using that, instead of, like, slipping or sliding a bit of chocolate, to tuck a bit of chocolate in between your buttocks, it just felt like... Just that phrase, to me, sounded a bit...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was more about just the, like, the tone of her voice and... And kind of what you were saying about the endings, there's something just...
Clipping the endings, like just fully pronouncing the endings.
Mm-hmm. Tattoos or whatever it is, Pirates of the Caribbean, beard, all that. And I'd run out of things like that. And
There's almost a hint of that, I'd run out of things like that.
And yet I was still after...
And yet I was still after... That's very posh.
No one says yet.
And yet, yeah.
And yet, but most people would say, but I was still after. And yet I was still after something.
The rush of doing it. I got into bed and I think I'd got a...
I got into bed. You would say, I got into bed.
Yeah, I got into bed, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's pronouncing the T's.
She's clipping all the sounds at the ends of words and stuff like that. Okay. Shall we?
I don't think I've ever seen her in anything. I don't know who she is. Well, I've heard the name.
Yeah. Well, she was in the papers really recently because of her dad.
What happened to her dad? He died.
He was really famous. He was a really famous actor. He was in Porridge, which was great. Right. And he died very young. He died like he was 30 or 31.
Yeah.
How old is she? What do you mean he died? He didn't die recently, though.
No, a long time ago.
Oh, okay, sorry.
She was born in 73, so she's about 45 years old or something. Yeah. She was in, maybe the most famous ones are things like, what's the action movie? The Underworld series.
Never watched it.
She's like fighting vampires and stuff, dressed in leather. That's quite good.
Sounds good.
I don't know who she is.
All right, let me give you some background information on her, and you can tell me if you think she sounds posh. Beckinsale was born in Chiswick.
Posh.
Some people say Hounslow. Not posh.
Not posh. Well, Chiswick's complicated because it's in Essex.
What, is she born?
Right?
No.
Chiswick?
No.
What?
Other side, darling.
It's the other side.
Yeah, get you east, north, south, east and west, right? West London, that's Middlesex.
Sorry.
Posh,
yeah.
I was thinking of somewhere else. It's not far from me.
I was thinking of
Chiswick.
Another country.
I think of a different country. I'm very tired.
I'm trying to find details about where she went to school and stuff. She went to Godolphin and Latimer School.
Ooh, very posh.
Sounds
Godolphin.
Posh. Never heard of it, but it's
the girl's
just the name of it.
Sussex.
Posh.
She was involved with the Orange Tree Youth Theatre.
Posh.
She read French and Russian literature at New
posh.
College, Oxford.
Posh.
I mean, we've already established she's posh.
So French is okay, but the Russian and Oxford together, posh.
Because French is a bit of a cop-out for posh people.
Because they all learn
They all
French.
Go to France, you know, skiing, country.
They've
house,
all got
all
a chalet in
exactly.
the Alps.
So France is okay, but Russian does mean she probably had a brain as well.
Yes, that's right.
Привет, меня зовут Кость.
What the fuck was that?
That's how you say hello, my name is.
Привет, меня зовут Пол Тейлор. Я из Англии.
That's excellent.
Amazing, I love it. So she's posh in terms of her accent and her education.
All of it.
No, she's not an aristocrat.
No.
Doesn't matter. Look at
it
her
does
face.
Matter. That's the most important one, Paul.
No,
but
it's not.
Of course it is.
Go on, give us another
it's
one.
Absolutely the most important one. So she's two out, let's say the three categories are birth, education and accent, right?
Okay.
For us. She scored 2 out of 3, so she's got 2 points
okay.
out of 3.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, see what I'm doing. See what I'm doing with that. All right, next person. You've got to guess who this is. Let me just line up the...
I like how your microphone cable is called Van Damme. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, because it's a kick-ass microphone cable. Okay, you ready? Mm-hmm. So there's two people in this one. One of them is Ruby Wax, the comedian. And then the other person is who I want you to identify. Here we go.
Really, really mean.
Really mean,
yeah.
Especially if you don't have a defence.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I suppose at school to actually... I mean, I did work hard at school. I mean, at night time I was going to do my dancing classes, and that's just not the cool thing to do, I suppose, when you're...
So you never ended up prom queen at the end, you know? Like,
no.
It should end happy like that, but I think it did, even without being prom queen.
Yeah.
Did they think you were snooty?
Oh, people still do think I'm snooty. Can't think why.
I can't think. Are you snooty or just have a...
I'm not. I mean, I think a lot of the time it's because, you know, I don't smile a lot.
Oh,
you know,
recognise the voice.
Kind of thing.
sounds like Victoria Beckham.
So she was saying a lot of people think you're snooty. Snooty is like sort of arrogant, stuck up, like judgmental of other people and thinking you're better than everyone else.
She said,
I don't, you know, people do think I'm snooty. And she said, maybe it's because, you know, I don't smile, and she's got kind of a sultry look. So who is it?
I think it's Victoria Beckham.
I don't think it's Victoria Beckham, but it's a Spice Girl. She's posh.
She's definitely not posh.
Not posh.
Well, she is posh. It's Posh Spice. It's Victoria Beckham.
She's not posh, though.
She's not posh. Does she sound posh?
No.
No.
Why not?
Because she's just the not, accent. Because she sounds too working class.
But what are the signifiers?
Well, exactly,
do you know
the
what I mean?
Opposite.
She said, yeah, do you know what I mean?
That kind of thing. You know, is she running in her words together? The opposite of the actress.
The opposite of Kate Beckinsale, whose name you've already forgotten.
I've already forgotten it. It's in one ear and out the other.
Anyone that says, do you know what I mean? You know straight away they're not posh.
Right. So she's dropping her T's. She's saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, not like physically beating up or anything. But
not like physically beating up.
I mean, you know, it's like, I mean...
Not like physically beaten up or anything. Mm. Beaten up, not beaten up. And anything. Not
anything, any, yeah. Pronouncing the F instead of the TH. Yeah.
TH has become F. Anything, know what I mean?
But I think children are really, really mean.
Really mean,
yeah.
Children,
children.
Children, not the L, not a L, but a W.
What's that called?
Children.
There's a word for that L. I forgot what it's called, a dark L or something like that. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Like when we say milk.
Yeah.
It's a, I think it's like a dark L. I think that's what it's called. Mm.
You don't have a defence.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I suppose at school, I mean, I did work hard at school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I did work hard at school, dropping the H's.
Do you know what I mean?
Suppose.
Oh, I've got to show you.
I did work hard at school. Do you know what I mean? School.
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 I'm going to do...
The W.
Okay.
School.
There was...
What's this then?
So my little brother plays at Bournemouth, right?
He's a professional footballer.
Yeah, and he almost got on. He almost had his Premier League debut the other day, but instead there was another young kid that had his premiere. Mm-hmm. It was either him or my brother Kyle.
Yeah,
and then he had like a post match interview, and oh man, you know, like the. It was
the stereotypical. Oh, well, I've just gone out there. I just like, I
did my best. Yeah,
let my feet do the talking.
Right, I wanted to do a game where it was like, how many times could he say the word obviously?
Ooh. Oh, brilliant! Oh, that's David Beckham, isn't it? Well, obviously, you know, we've like the boss has told us to go out there and just enjoy ourselves, and I've gone out and let my feet do the talking. Obviously, I've had a good game. I've scored a penalty. And, you know, and some of the lads have, like, congratulated me for it. And obviously, we're going to try and repeat this performance going forwards. Because obviously, you know, you've got to try and win games of football that you're playing. So that's just
obvious. Have you watched the video?
No.
Right. I'm going to just play it. This is, like, the complete opposite of posh. But it reminded me... I don't know what she said there that reminded me of... here we go. Scroll down. And there he is.
The 18th minute here at the Emirates Stadium, and what were your emotions as you were told you were going to come on and make your Premier League debut?
Well, I was just waiting after half time. I was just kind of waiting for it to happen, whatever the score was. I'm always ready, even when I was on the bench before against Wolves and Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? Always ready to go. So, yeah, it was just nice to get the call, but obviously not in the circumstances. But obviously, it's just nice to obviously get on the pitch.
Were there any indication that you were in line for a Premier League appearance at some point soon?
Well, obviously, I know I've been training well, and obviously, the gaffer knows he's told me. Just keep working hard, it will come. But obviously, he wants to see me improve in training. He's not just going to give it to me. Thankfully, obviously, he's seen that I've been working hard, so he's given me the chance tonight. So it's good.
A tough situation, but 10 minutes to prove yourself. How do you think you got on?
Yeah, I think I've done all right. Do you know what I mean? I had a little glance in header that I might have done that better with, but it was a little bit behind me. But there you go. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, that's just setting the the targets that I want to get to. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm a bit disappointed I didn't get that obviously on my Premier League debut, but it's nice obviously getting on the pitch. But obviously, I want to keep looking forward now. Now I've got the Premier League debut, I want to keep going, obviously, making appearances and obviously work hard to try and get the team.
And a lot of nice touches, interchanges, trying to get other people into space as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now I played a couple of nice balls out wide. Naz obviously won a free kick, it was just kind of just shot me to see what I can do. Obviously, try and nick a goal or something, but I'm kind of.
Oh my God. So the things there was like, do you know what I mean? And obviously, which he combines into one word. No. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Obviously. And he actually said, thankfully, obviously.
Thankfully, obviously. Do you know, there are worse vocal tics, but it's been, I've never heard someone use obviously so much.
I know. No, I watched that.
Maybe it's a young person
You've
thing.
Never watched Match of the Day. It's footballers. Footballers. I don't know why.
They say obviously.
Yeah, they're obviously all the time. Yeah.
Obviously, do you know what I mean, at the end of the day?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know, I've heard a lot of, do you know what I mean, end of the day.
That's just one word.
Obviously, yeah, do you know what I mean,
at the end of the day.
I could, you know.
So 3 points that counts, obviously.
Fun. We could have fun with that. Like, so Amber, how do you feel you handled lunch then?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, lunch was, you know, it's challenging, but like, I did my best. You know, at the end of the day, you present it with a plate, you got to obviously just attack, go straight in there.
Yeah, exactly. Paul? You finished a coffee earlier on. How do you think that coffee went for you?
Well, obviously, you know, the coffee's quite hot. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, I was eating a sandwich when you served it. And obviously, I was like, oh, should I drink it now? Or, you know, because I got my Coke Zero as well, obviously. And there's a lot of caffeine. Do you know what I mean? In the caffeine. And yeah. I didn't want to obviously double down on the caffeine there.
At the
you
end
know,
of the day.
Could have had a hat trick and had a Red Bull as well, obviously. Do you know what I mean? But it's just, you know, at the end of the day, I got caffeinated.
Right. So Victoria Beckham then, she doesn't sound posh because she's
no.
going, do you know what I mean? Yeah. In terms of, well, we know, I don't need to Google it. We know that she didn't grow up in a posh family. She's from, I think she's from Essex.
Yes.
Because like, obviously, you know, like in Essex, like a lot of people speak like that, don't they? Obviously, yeah. You know, at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day and the middle of the day.
All day, really.
Any time of day.
It's all day. It's like morning to night, all
morning,
day long,
noon,
speaking like this, isn't it?
Noon, night. Yeah. So yes. And poshness of education. No, she only sort of became rich after she was famous in the Spice Girls. So
yeah.
I think she scores zero in all three categories.
I think she scores in the minus because she's with David Beckham.
Oh, come on.
He's a vision of a man. Everything about him, but he's just definitely not a posh
not
person.
Posh.
Not posh person.
Although these days he's like brushing shoulders with royalty.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a good looking chap now. Like he's
good looking.
Always was, wasn't he?
Always
not,
was.
Not with his curtains.
Look. Back in the day, curtains was a thing.
What are curtains?
It's a mistake of a haircut where you have a centre parting down the middle of your head and either side you've got longer hair, so it looks like you've got curtains on your forehead.
I had curtains.
So did I.
Everyone had curtains. Mm. I fancied many a boy with curtains. Mm.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
It was a good time when I had curtains.
But with David Beckham, right. You're not looking at his curtains.
What are you looking at?
His abs.
His abs?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
All or right. Into his lovely eyes.
Obviously, Amber, what I've done there, you see, is I've approached you, right, and I've thought, she's looking at my abs, yeah, so obviously at the end of the day, like, if a bird's looking at my abs, then I'm going to, like, you know, I thought, I'm in there with a chance, like, at least one. So I've gone up to you, right, and I've said, do you fancy going out for a drink? And you've turned round, because you were facing the other way. You've turned round and you've gone... Are you going to turn round to me and ask me if I want to go out for a drink? And he's turned round to me, and then I've turned round. People are turning round all the time.
I've noticed that with, and I don't know if it's whether it's a non-posh thing, but I've noticed that when footballers talk about something that's happened in the past,
yeah,
they have a weird way of constructing the sentence.
I've talked about this recently.
Have you?
And it's the thing is,
what I've done is I've gone into the pub. What do you mean? What I've done is.
I've
what
gone into the pub, yeah.
I went into the pub. No, yeah. I've gone into the pub.
So it'd be like, Paul, tell me, what did you do yesterday then?
Well, what I did... What I've done... What I've done is, yeah... What did I do yesterday? What I've done I've gone on stage...
Yeah.
And I've tried some new jokes out. And some of them, they've not gone so well.
So I've told this joke, right? And this bloke's turned around to me and he's gone... What was that supposed to be a joke? And I've said to him, yeah, it's like using present perfect.
Maybe they're trying to make it seem more immediate.
Yeah, but like no one else does that. No one else is doing it.
Because
if you did it more immediate, it'd be like, so I get up and I go downstairs and I make myself a coffee and some guy says to me, what are you doing? This isn't your house.
But that's just the present. No one says that either.
Yeah, no, people do.
People do.
Absolutely, yeah. People tell stories like that all the time. Like, I was listening to Bill Burr telling his story about the crazy flight experience. Have you heard that story?
Yes.
Where he's, like, got the crazy guy sitting next to him, and the whole thing is in present simple.
Is it?
Tense.
Is it not in the past?
Yeah. No, it's totally in the present simple.
You're right. They do that to make it seem more present.
Really?
I don't know. It's footballers.
They do it. They don't just do it. They do it.
Do
you know Pete? Do you know who Pete Best is?
An old footballer.
No, no, that's George Best.
Oh.
Pete Best was the drummer in the Beatles.
Oh,
he got kicked out, right? And he got kicked out not just because he was a crappy drummer, but also because he wasn't really sort of on the same wavelength as the other guys. Because uh-huh. the thing about the Beatles were they were very sharp, very funny, very yeah. witty. And Pete Best is this sort of scouser who sort of speaks like this, you know. So they've turned around to me and they've gone, Pete, you're out of the band. And I've turned around to them. And there's Pete, like every single thing he says.
English people are just turning around, talking around. To
yeah. Every damn time someone says anything, they turn around before they say it, according to Pete Best. I desperately need to find the video. Okay, let's just dip into this conversation and we'll see if this is it.
We played the Cavern, gone down fantastically as we normally did. And at the end of the night, I got a message from Brian, which basically turned around and said, Pete, I'd like to see you in the office in the morning. I walked into Brian's office, and I could tell that Brian wasn't a normal, cool, calm, placid Brian, to be quite honest. He was quite agitated. He was fidgety. Talked around the subject for a while, and then he just basically turned around and said, Pete, he said, I really don't know how to turn around and tell you this. He said, but I will. And he said, in short, the boys want you out. And it's already been arranged that Ringo will join the band on Saturday. And that was the bombshell.
I could just recreate it where he's gone into the Beatles manager's office and I've gone in and he's turned round to me and he says, Pete, you know, I've got to get straight with you. And I've turned round to him and I've gone, what is it? And he's turned round to me and he says, it's the boys, you know, they want you out of the band. And I've turned round to him and I've gone, what? And then he literally says this and he says, and he turned round to me and he said, look, Pete, I'm not going to turn round and tell you that you're out of the band. It's like people are turning round and then saying, I'm not going to turn round.
He just basically turned around and said, Pete, he said, I really don't know how to turn around and tell you this.
What you really need to do is you need to like recreate it visually. Like you have that sort
yeah, that's
of dialogue
a good sketch, yeah.
and you have... Actually, you know, the people
the character's
doing it.
Spinning around.
Just really doing what's happening. It'll be hilarious.
I've turned round to him and he's turned round to me and I've said to him, are you turning round to me? And he's turned round to me. Are you ready to move on to the next person?
Give it to us.
Here we go. Just 1 second. Let me just queue up the video here, guys. Okay. Just going to queue up the old the VT here.
Listening to Radio 23 on 98.3.
I need to just get to the right section of the video and we're going to hear from. Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Jumping in now.
In relation to the timing, but what he said during the interview. I went to bed last night.
I love this actor.
Knowing there's this interview in the Sun and woke up today to read
the
interview. And it must have been a very difficult evening for Prime Minister May at the dinner she had with him last night. But I think some of the things he said during the interview will cause upset to Londoners and will explain, I suspect, why many Londoners, and by the way, they include Londoners who are Americans, will be protesting today against President Trump, some of his policies and some of the things that he said.
Who's that then?
Sadiq Khan.
Sadiq Khan.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, is it, blood?
Hold on, I need to find it. So keep talking. I'm going to find this because it sounds exactly like someone else.
So Sadiq Khan, who is the mayor of London.
Yeah.
So a very high status position to be in. Previously held by Boris Johnson, a very posh person.
Yes.
And so Sadiq Khan, is he posh?
No.
Why not, Amber?
Well, from his voice, you wouldn't say posh. You'd probably say educated. He'd be the same, I'd say, RP, upper middle class, solid middle class.
There are some things in there.
Lots of repetition, lots of stumbling, interview. And from his accent alone, I wouldn't say posh.
And also, when he says any ing words, it's like evening. Not evening, but evening in at the front.
Still
like evening.
RP. He's still quite clean
pretty
RP.
Pretty much RP.
Not
but
quite
with
journalistic enough, you know, that he haven't had that kind of same cleanness and clarity.
Doesn't have the journo voice, yeah.
But not posh, no.
I'd say it's RP, but with some regional bits. Like
I said, like you. You know, like sort of in terms of like us.
Yeah.
You know, a kind of... A sort of nice RP.
Yeah, it's totally fine, but it's not posh.
No.
And Sadiq Khan, well, do you know anything about his background?
I don't.
His dad was a bus driver, you know, so he comes from sort of
lovely
a
Sadiq.
Meagre background.
Working class.
Working class background, yeah.
But maybe upper working class.
Well, I don't
depends
know. Depends
on values.
So.
That, then it so. Starts coming down to values.
But the point is that his dad was not someone who had like a high paying job. He wasn't working in a prestigious high status position. He was a bus driver. Mm. And I don't think his dad went to university. I don't know about Sadiq Khan. I don't know if he went to university, but he certainly wouldn't have gone to a private school.
I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the mayor of London.
Yeah.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
You can't become mayor without going to university?
Well, you need, you know, being mayor is about also connections and yeah. achievement and possibility and seeing yourself there, and that does kind
I don't
of
think like Alan Sugar, the millionaire businessman,
Sugar.
He didn't go to university, and he's.
I think yeah. it's also that he wasn't a business owner to start with.
Yeah.
Right. Next person.
Okay, next
all
person.
Right, so you've got to try and guess who this
I thought
is.
I thought that was Tom Hardy. I thought he
oh,
sounds
no, mate. He
a
has
lot
got
like Tom
such,
Hardy.
No, Tom Hardy, yeah. Mr. Mumble.
Put it back on.
Hold on. Just
the very beginning.
Hold on. Oh, I need to go back now.
Also, Tom Hardy, posh.
Is Tom Hardy posh?
Is
he? Sounds well posh.
You reckon?
Yeah,
maybe we need to add Tom Hardy to the list. Okay, let's hear a bit of Sadiq Khan then again. Here we go.
It said during the interview, I went to bed last night knowing there's this interview in the Sun, and woke up today to read the interview, and it must have been a very difficult evening for Prime Minister May.
Must have been a very difficult evening for Prime Minister May.
Prime Minister May.
It must have been a very difficult evening for Prime Minister May.
He's not quite that bad.
It must have been, Ed.
It
must have been a very difficult evening for Prime Minister May.
Who?
Ebba.
Who that is.
All right, Sir D.
Who does that sound like? It must have been a very difficult evening for Prime Minister May, Amber. I think that you will find it's quite close to Michael Caine.
That's right. Speaks
a bit like that, doesn't he? Yeah. He's got that blocked up nose. And sometimes he'll start shouting for no reason.
Master Bruce.
Anyway, are you ready? Are you steady?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here and now with our new Jack Ryan actor, Chris Pine, and we find him in London as a student at the London School of Economics, where Tom Clancy, in his 14 novels about this character, starts him off. We've never understood that before. And we're trying to put this character, who appeared in four previous films, in a 21st century setting and try and bring his sort of... everyman character with a brilliant analytical mind into a modern problem, not the Cold War issues that the character was basically concerned with across those novels, but in this case, financial terrorism.
Okay. What's he talking about?
I wasn't listening. I forgot to listen. I was just listening to the words. I wasn't listening to the meaning.
That's fine.
It got a bit Radio 4 and
he
I switched off.
He was talking about Tom Clancy, his novels, Jack Ryan.
Medieval something.
Basically, this is a director of a film and he's talking about how he cast Chris Pine as the character of Jack Ryan in the latest Jack Ryan movie.
Right.
So it's a film director talking about a film.
No idea
who that
he's
is?
Not posh, but...
Oh, you're not posh? He sounds a bit posh to me.
Threat of financial terrorism, and he is recruited to the CIA and to financial intelligence by Kevin Costner.
No, RP, I'd say. I just feel like he...
I don't know, it sounded posh to me.
I think it's RP. I don't actually hear any... I don't hear many examples of that kind of, you know, that sort of poshness where
it's like the top posh.
So we chose an actor who we thought would be suitable for the role of Jack Reacher.
So it's got that slightly clean and crisp education issue.
And crisp.
Maybe public school then, but...
Educated. Sounds educated. Not necessarily that sort of high posh RP.
Not high posh, maybe born into it, but I'm going with the...
If he's a film director, there's no way he's born into it.
You never know.
Some film directors are posh. Like, isn't Christopher Nolan?
I literally just typed in his name into
Christopher
YouTube
Nolan.
I have no idea who it is.
I think Nolan is quite posh, but this is Kenneth Branagh.
Sir Kenneth Branagh.
Is he a sir?
Oh yes.
Yes, indeed he is. Amber.
I think you'll find he is. A lot of Shakespeare. Sir Kenneth Branagh. Very, you know.
Sir Kenneth Branagh.
I mean, of course, his diction is fantastic.
Kenneth Branagh.
I don't know about his education. I think he went to Cambridge, probably, because he was going out with... I mean, he married
Emma Thompson,
and she went to Cambridge, and I wouldn't wonder if they met or had connections there.
Kenneth Branagh, Wikipedia page. Let's just read through some details of this chap's early life, shall we? Born in Belfast.
Belfast?
Hi there.
Hi, Nye, Brian Kai.
How are you?
The middle of three children, was born in Belfast, the son of working... I can't do the accent for long. Son of working class Protestant parents. His dad was a plumber.
Not posh.
Not posh. Well, I mean, Belfast. I mean, we need to go any further.
Yeah. Educated at Grove Primary School. Yeah, are there any posh people in Belfast? There must be some.
No, surely not.
Yeah, there's quite a posh Northern Irish accent compared to like a non-posh Northern Irish.
But not in Belfast, surely.
Yeah.
So, carry on.
The point about Branner is that he was born into a sort of lower class background. At school, he acquired received pronunciation to avoid bullying.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
It's interesting. Maybe he moved. Yeah, look, at the age of nine, his family moved to Reading in England to escape the troubles in Northern Ireland. He was educated at White Knights Primary School and Meadway School, a local comprehensive. So he just went to a normal state school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He changed his accent to sound like that so that people wouldn't bully him. Because yeah. I imagine when he arrived, he was like...
Sounds like me.
My name's Kenneth Branner. How are ye?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, big man? And they're like... You know, in Reading, people don't speak like that, so they probably bullied him. So he learned to speak like in a neutral voice.
Yeah, I don't think that's a whole debate as well. I think that you don't make an effort to do it. It just happens. Because that's what happened to me. Like there was a point where I had an American accent when I was a kid.
Say what?
Oh my god! Because I went to an American international school in Geneva, and when I came back from that. Into
sounds a bit posh, doesn't
Hello,
it?
Yes.
Shock horror, Paul Taylor.
Paul Taylor's posh.
Paul Taylor in posh revelation shock. Yeah. you're not though, are you? Are you?
No. Well, I don't know really.
Well, we'll find out.
As soon as I went to a school in England, I remember being made fun of as the French kid, whatever. And so I wasn't like, oh, I need to speak like them. But I think just subconsciously it happened. Yeah. And the accent I've got now came just from the last time that I was at school, which was in the southeast.
I thought you were going to say from the last couple of years of spending time with me.
but I did that as well. You know, I was born in South Africa. And then when I came to...
Did you speak with that South African...
Oh, hello there?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you do it a bit now?
No, I can't do it. And then when I came to school, and like, you know, one of the things I remember distinctly is the kids all laughing because I'd say yah instead of yes, which in South Africa is totally normal.
Oh, totally.
Everyone was falling about and they teased me mercilessly for having this accent and I lost it quick.
Yeah.
And quickly I started speaking like this.
I find that strange that you can't still do the South African accent.
No, I can't.
The fact that you used to be able to do it and now you can't?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Maybe if I practice I could do it, but it's not something I could just slip into, even though that's how I spoke.
Let's hear a bit more of this South African accent. So how did you get here, Paul?
I took a plane from Johannesburg.
Oh, you travelled that far?
It's from, yeah.
From Johannesburg?
From Johannesburg.
How was the flight?
The flight? You're from New Zealand?
I don't know where
I'm from.
Yeah, because
no, that was good. I thought that was South Africa.
That was rubbish.
Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and maybe Northern Ireland are sort of all part of the same place.
Northern Ireland, no. The first three, yeah, I'll give you that.
If I start trying to do a South African accent, then eventually it will become New Zealand.
It's already New Zealand. It was never South Africa. It's just...
South Africa. Go on, Paul.
The thing with South Africa is they rolled it R's.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to think of a word that's got an R in it now.
Train.
Did you take a train? It's difficult to do. I can't do it very well. But there you go. Very well. They'll say very well. I can't do it very well. Whereas in Australia, it's just more nasal.
Hey, g'day, mate. You're from Australia, mate.
It needs to be more nasal. You know what I mean?
yeah.
And New Zealand just fuck the vowels.
So Amber, are you posh?
No.
Well, your voice is so clear and nice. I mean, you're like Kenneth Branner in a way.
Kenneth Branner. I'm fooling you with the fact that I chose an accent, a posh accent.
You didn't do it on purpose, though, did you?
I mean, I chose an English accent, obviously not a South African accent. And I think I did choose a posh accent because where I grew up wasn't that posh.
But what Paul was saying, sorry, is that he, in his mind, it's not something you choose to do. It just happens. But you actually chose to change your voice, did you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And yeah, go on.
No, it was one of those things I thought, I will not be like you.
But were there other people where you were at school that had your voice now?
I think it was more or less, you know, it's North London. So it's sort of RP... It wasn't far from this, but then you could choose to be like, you know, a bit more London, like, all right, going down the shops, how's it going to go?
Yeah.
Or you could be a bit more posh. And I was like, I'm going to be nice and posh. And so, you know, that was a choice in a way.
Okay.
So
you, and then it becomes a habit. Then it becomes who you are.
But you're, you'd, again, and coming back to this again, you've got like standard RP, a bit like Kenneth Branagh. You don't really have any of those little signifiers. For example, how would you say the word? How would you say the word layer cake?
Layer cake.
Layer. Just the word layer.
Layer.
Layer. Like or player.
Player.
You wouldn't say player.
Player. No, layer.
I'm a
layer
I'm, you know what? I'm a rugby player.
I'm a rugby player. But did Ken go
awfully
to...
delicious layer cake.
That's gorgeous. I'd
need a little bit more mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Did Ken go to Cambridge?
No, he went to a... he went to like a theatre school.
Drama school. Okay, yeah. Well then, you know, it's... But he did spend a lot of time doing quite a lot of Shakespeare, so I'm sure that helped his lovely sounding voice.
One of the things I identified... when I did part one of this, was that a lot of actors sound posh, but it's just because they went through theatre school and they did Shakespeare, and so they've learned how to pronounce using that thespian accent, which is basically received pronunciation. Yeah. So they kind of learn it at the theatre school.
At RADA, yeah.
So not posh, Ken Bran. And
not posh, Ken Bran.
And Amb Min is also not
posh.
Except for her voice, which is well-spoken, but not posh. Paul Taylor, then. So
Paul Taylor is the secret poshest person amongst us.
Do you think so?
Yeah. It sounds like it. Did you go to a school in Geneva?
No, I certainly did not.
We did not. PT Comedy did.
So wait, did you ever go to a private school?
I did, yeah.
How many private schools did you go to?
I can't remember. I remember my first secondary school was private.
Yeah.
So the first 3 years of that was...
Is it your first secondary school or your third, fourth three school? Sorry, carry on. I'll edit that out. Your first secondary school or your second firstary school?
There we go. Yeah, no, it's my first secondary school.
I do apologise.
It was private. I think, because I moved to England when I was nine. I moved back to England when I was nine. And the 2 years before I moved back, so I was in school in France, in a French school until the age of seven. And then for 2 years I was at an international school in Geneva.
Yeah.
And then from nine till... whatever, I think I was in a private primary school, I don't remember, but then I like for the first few years of secondary school I was in a private school. Then when I moved to Spain I was again in a British school, so I think technically it was private, but it didn't act like a private school.
Question. Yeah. If you had stayed in England the whole time, would you have gone to a private school?
Potentially, if my parents could have afforded it, yeah, I would have, like, the first 3 years that I was in that school, if I'd have stayed until the end of my A-levels at that school, I would have. But just the way life worked out, I ended up going to Spain. And then when I came back from Spain, I went to a college for my last 2 years of A-levels.
So it's just his attendance at private schools makes him more posh than us.
Because my dad's from Yorkshire, so very working class family. My mum's from Belfast.
Yeah,
same thing. So there was nothing in my family. It was the private school thing, which came from the fact that my dad earned a lot of money when he was doing his banking stuff.
So your dad was a banker?
He wasn't a banker, but he was a software engineer for a bank.
Right. Okay.
So he earned a lot of money because that was a massive boom back then.
Right.
In the 90s, and then he lost his jobs, and then he had no money, and then basically we were living on the cheap when I was with my mum, and so that's when I ended up going to college. And then I went to university in the East End of London, where I was like, yeah, blood, do you know what I mean? Like, fucking blood, I'll knife you, son. So the poshness got kicked out of me, I guess.
In terms of accent, you are less posh sounding than Amber. Not that Amber's posh, but I mean, like, you don't... I think you've got more clear RP, whereas Paul's speech is, you know, you can hear the London accent in there.
Yeah.
He drops his T's all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of accent, you get more points than him. But in terms of going education, he's got more points than you. What did your...
balance out, though?
I don't know.
How does it then balance out university? If you go to comprehensive school... I didn't, but like if you go to comprehensive schools and then go to Oxford or Cambridge...
Can you do that?
You can go to private secondary schools and then go to a rubbish university. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think your secondary education or primary and secondary education... are more important in terms of your poshness than your tertiary education. Exactly.
I'd say your second, like your teenage where you are as a teenager, I think defines who you are.
Formative years, aren't they?
Teaches you your poshness or not. Yeah.
Your dad, did he go to university?
No.
Okay. All right. So you've got my poshness of education, basically. If anything.
I guess so. Of secondary education.
Okay. Parents, do they go to university?
Nope.
Okay.
Right. Neither of them.
So that makes me posher than you because my dad went to Oxford.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. You're the poshest.
So I'm the poshest?
You are perhaps the poshest.
Or the pottest.
The pottest. You're the pottest.
Okay. All right, then. Should we do one more before we move on?
Yeah,
go for it. All right, let's do... All right. Let's do one more.
I want a quick fire, just posh or not.
Quick fire, yeah.
I want just like posh or not, and just like voice, posh or not, and just like, you know, without the in-depth.
Okay, all right, let's, all right then. Okay, I get it. We'll do a quick fire from now on. Here we go.
Scale it down. I'm not driving a minicar.
Oh.
Let's work together.
Oh, which comedian is this? I love him.
Okay.
He's not posh.
Let's keep going.
Kilburn, North London, yeah. South
Stephen
London
K. Amos.
Yeah, Stephen K. Amos. We need to hear a little bit more. Come on, Steve.
I'll tell you about my family. I come from quite a big family. And as kids, my dad tried to think of ways to keep us occupied. His solution was get my mum pregnant 8 more times.
Stephen
K. Amos.
He's
got a poshness to him, isn't he?
Well, he comes on Radio 4 quite a lot. He's done various things. He sort of appeals to the posh.
Radio
4. He appeals to the posh.
The thing about Stephen K. Amos is that he's got an air of sophistication about him, an air of class about him. I think he's got very modest background. His accent, he's quite well-spoken.
Yeah.
Sometimes he sounds posh. Sometimes he just sort of has this kind of... head held high, sophisticated posh sound.
Yeah.
Sometimes he sounds like just an ordinary Londoner.
Yeah.
So he's an interesting case, but I don't think he's posh.
Not posh.
No.
He's just sophisticated.
Next.
Yes.
Yeah. Next.
Next.
Here we go. I like the way you're hurrying me along there. Okay.
The way that looked, the way it felt, was it a gatefold? Do you remember?
Probably Captain Fantastic, because of the sleeve and. The Alan Aldridge drawings and the storyboard, because it was about burning eyes, so probably that one.
You know, it's funny, I was sort of brushing up on my day-to-day knowledge of your career, because obviously I know you.
Which
now,
one
we've
are
we worked together.
To?
And,
so that's the interviewer who's got like an Australian accent.
Yeah.
And it's the guy he's talking
to.
You know, we get along, but having to remind myself exactly, you know, what the last sort of 50 years that you and Bernie have been spending making music together has entailed, and it's overwhelming.
Shut up, mate.
I mean, the journey you've been on is just incredible, what you've achieved and experienced.
I don't really look back. I'm not one to...
I can tell, because you just...
Mate, let him talk.
A little bit, what's the word I'm... melancholy. There are times when I hear something of mine, I think, oh, that sounds okay.
Oh, it's
but
Elton
I don't
John,
listen.
Isn't it?
It's Elton John.
Is it? I would have never have got it. He sounded posh to me.
Really?
Like, sounds like a posh
bit.
Person.
He's not posh.
Sounds a bit posh.
I don't think he sounds that posh either.
Don't you? I suppose it's his ma.
What I have noticed is he's like 70 odd years old now.
He doesn't sound it, does he?
And he's got that thing where he's like, he can't move his lips anymore. And that's kind of a posh thing, that posh people can't move their mouth.
Just
if you want to sound fairly posh, just don't move your mouth at all. Especially the upper lip. Just see if you
keep
can.
Keep it nice and stiff.
See if you can just say a whole sentence without moving your upper lip at all. And you will naturally start to sound terribly posh.
I've got to find that Michael McIntyre posh thing.
Let's next.
Go on in.
Yeah.
I have to keep skipping into the middle of the video so that they don't say, and now our interview with Elton John, you know, at the beginning. So it gives it away. So that's why it's kind of dropping straight into the middle. Here we go.
Sort of plotting what we've been wanting to do. I've been sort of itching to get going.
50th anniversary Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
What?
Huge amount. There always is, but this, I suppose, there's maybe double because of the 50th anniversary. I think we're...
The 50th anniversary
of straight away.
We're going to put on a good show.
And what's it been like making this one? Has it felt different in any ways to the previous two?
Yes, I think so. I think the first one was a bit of a whir for me, really. I mean, it was sort of such a sort of... a new experience, and not sort of really knowing what was going on. The whole thing kind of flew by, and then...
All right.
Daniel Craig. Gone, isn't
it? Daniel Craig. Well, I would say, I don't know really about Daniel Craig, but I think he could be a bit posh.
He does sound a little bit...
He sounds a bit posh, but I mean, it could be just the actor thing. You
it
know?
Could also be
it's
because he's being interviewed.
Actors.
He's currently filming Bond in that interview, right?
Yeah.
Which for Bond, you've got to sound a little bit posh. Like if you listen to interviews of Christian Bale... You'll hear an interview where he's American, and then you'll hear an interview where he's English. You'll hear an interview where he's Welsh. You'll hear an interview like in different accents because he has to learn the accent.
Wait, has he ever played a Welshman? I'm Batman, you see.
No, I think, yeah, but like, in, I think that's in his normal voice, like when he's not filming anything.
Right, okay.
But he learns the accent and he speaks that accent like in and out of the
whole
role for the whole time to make sure it's right. Yeah, I don't, I mean, I could do that, but I mean, it's. Did I tell you that I've got my first role in cinema?
Paul Taylor.
Filming
what
next
is it?
Week. I'm a Quebecer.
You're going to be in a movie?
That? What's a Quebecer?
Somebody from Quebec. I've got to do a French Quebec accent. So I'm not playing an English person. I'm not playing a French person. I'm playing a fucking Quebecois because cool. I'm good at doing the accent.
What movie? Tell us more details.
It's the Celine Dion biopic.
Yes.
But it's not, they don't
the
have the rights.
Celine Dion biopic. I mean, what a way to start.
I know.
You're really busting
gangster.
Into cinema.
So wait, you're going to be in a Celine Dion biopic.
Yeah, it's not called, cause they didn't have the rights to use her name, so it's going to be called Aline whatever. Like, the character's not called Celine Dion, but it's her life story, basically. And I'm playing, when she went to Eurovision to do for Switzerland, we're like backstage watching one of the other people singing backstage at the Eurovision, and I'm like the producer from Quebec being like, wow, my only line is like, wow, she was great, but don't worry, Celine, you're gonna do great.
And do you have to do it in a Quebec
accent?
Yeah,
I've got to do it in a Quebec accent.
Can you do
it?
Can you do that?
It was something, I can't remember the exact line, but it's something along the lines of something like, see, I've got to get in there, ben, là, c'est affaire, là, là, c'est, wow, était bien bonne, celle-là, mais toi, tu vas cartonner, ça va être bien.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow.
I can't remember the exact
line.
That's
Quebec French.
That's Quebec for you. That's cool. Well done.
So that's it. My first. It's going to be. I just like the fact that my first cinema role isn't an English person or a French person.
Looking for cinema roles for you. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, man. That's awesome.
Anyway, it was just to do with the accent.
Paul Taylor coming to a cinema near you.
As a Quebecois.
Soon. So Daniel Craig has Welsh and distant French. Is French Huguenot? That's how you pronounce it, isn't
really?
It?
Yeah. What the hell is that?
Craig has
Protestants.
Welsh and distant French Huguenot ancestry. Huguenot minister Daniel Charmier is among his ancestors, as is Sir William Burnaby, 1st Baronet.
Okay, so he's got some...
Pretty posh.
Daniel
he looks
Craig,
like he's got two poshes.
He's bona fide the most posh person we've had so far.
He might have gone to a posh school and he might have all three.
He was brought up in Cheshire, in Chester, which is ish posh for the north. It's quite posh.
Yeah.
And he grew up on the Wirral, which is like the posh part of Merseyside.
Poshish.
He went to Hilber High School. No sign of posh education. He went to a grammar school, and then he went to the Guildhall School of Music and Drama.
It's not even RADA.
So not posh of education, but he's got some posh connections.
Posh
background,
accent.
And
all
a
right,
slightly
then.
Posh accent.
Quite posh.
Yeah, so quite posh.
All right, next one.
Next one.
Next. Here we go. This is old.
You can't tell with old.
We are very pleased to have in the studio tonight one of the very few people in the world, if not the only person in the world, to have spent the major part of his life underwater attempting to teach ravens to fly.
Good evening.
Good evening. We're very pleased to welcome to the studio...
Yeah, I mean, that's proper posh, isn't it? I mean, it sounds proper posh, but it's back in the day posh.
Well, I don't know. It's just TV, BBC, kind of. It's kind of like, yeah, and welcome to the, you know.
That's not the actual person I was asking you about. That's the presenter, but the guest is the one I want to know about.
Get to the guest then.
Yeah.
Welcome to the studio, Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling.
Striebe Griebling. I beg your pardon. You're confusing me with Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling.
Yes, sir.
Striebe Griebling is my name. Good evening.
Yes. Good evening. Thank you very much.
It's comedy. They're pretending to be posh, but they're already
comedy.
With this old-fashioned way of speaking, which is probably a bit posh anyway, trying to sound posh.
But so back in 1961 or whatever, presenters on the BBC did speak in this sort of very old-fashioned posh kind of voice. But Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling, or Arthur Grebe Striebling, whatever his name is very posh too, and this is him talking about.
Never heard him.
It's Peter Cook.
It's just a character.
Peter Cook, the comedian.
Yes.
Yeah, it's him. It's
Peter Cook. He's posh, is he?
Peter Cook, I think, is quite think posh. Quite or was posh. He's dead now, isn't it? So you know,
good evening.
Got his past tense with him.
Good Griebling.
Good Griebling indeed.
Good evening.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good
hello,
evening.
Fans.
Yes. Shut up, Sir Arthur.
It's a very funny sketch, actually. You should watch it. Next one. So
next
that's
one.
A fictional character, Sir Arthur Striebe Arthur Greaves Dreebling, or Streep Greaves, played by Peter Cook, a very posh, old-fashioned accent. Next one is...
Rightfully sorry for Yoko and Sean.
Right,
and
all the people John Lennon, isn't it? So
no, it's not, no? John Lennon, no. Let's keep going.
But I also feel very angry that it's such a senseless thing to happen, that one of the great people that have happened this century have been just wiped out by a madness. I'm very angry about it. I'm angry about violence generally, which seems to be increasing. And I'm angry against those people who are responsible for spreading it, too. If only responsible people could get together and try and reduce this violence.
It sounds quite posh.
Yeah, it does sound posh, doesn't he?
I don't know who that is.
It's George Martin. He was the Beatles producer.
Ah.
I'm looking at two blank faces.
We're not Beatles.
Beatle fans.
Have you seen that? Listen, have you heard that podcast, the Beatles podcast?
Which one?
It's called The Egg Pod or something.
Yeah, I Am The Egg Pod. Yeah, yeah. I have heard that.
Any good?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. But only if you're a Beatles fan.
Yeah.
If you're not a Beatles fan.
I mean, I do like the Beatles, but I mean, I'm not a super fan.
Yeah, I am.
Yes.
I'm a major
fan. You're a major fan. Yeah. He sounded quite posh, didn't he?
Yes, he did sound very posh. The interesting thing about George Martin.
You need to. You can't do this without looking at the King of Posh. What you need to do is do two side to side. May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
You want Rees Mogg.
Yeah.
And then you want Danny...
Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
Well, I've done Rees Mogg already.
Rees Mogg, Danny Dyer.
I don't
Dyer.
Even know who Rees Mogg
let's,
is.
Let's... Jacob Rees Mogg, you don't know who he is.
No. You do. Fucking
I don't. Hell. Who is he?
He is this really... He's a politician.
Okay.
He's super posh and awful and sort of...
The thing is, though, he's not actually... He's not an aristocrat. He's just...
he's just got this sort of arsey
he's just
way.
From, he's just from that upper class world... But he's not really, really, really posh. He's just... anyway, go on, sorry.
I don't know. He's just kind of got a lot of airs about, you know, old-fashioned Tory, right-wing, you know, like speaking Latin.
Oh. Yeah.
Things like that.
Let's hear him talking a little bit in the House of Commons.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, may I say how delighted I am that you have decided to follow precedent.
How delighted I am that you have decided to follow precedent. Isn't it? It's just disgusting.
He's awful.
Which is something I'm...
He's horrible. Some people love him.
Sure.
Because they, you know, whatever. Some people love him. I don't.
Greatly in favour of. And dare I say, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repenteth than the 99 who are not in need of repentance. But I wondered if he might help the House with 2 points of clarity.
I wonder if he might help the House with 2 points of clarity. So, first of all, it's all bullshit, right? Mm. It's just an act. He's putting it on. I mean, no one is that posh. He's like some sort of dinosaur from the 19th century. He's like someone dragged back from the Victorian era. In fact, there are photos of him going around wearing a freaking top hat.
Yes.
I mean, the guy is like a Victorian throwback.
He is.
And it's just... I don't want to talk about him anymore.
Right, let's move on.
So this is this William Hansen guy who's very young. I think he's like 28 or something, and he sounds quite the same. But this is this guy who I think I don't know if he's being serious or not. Hold on.
And mine's you know nice and sophisticated.
What is the most common thing that you think that people do at Christmas?
Oh, I don't like it when people open presents too early, especially when they haven't washed and they're doing it before breakfast.
You mean when they're opening their presents in their pyjamas?
Yes, no.
You've got to get the kids bathed and dressed before they open their presents.
Yes.
I can't see that happening.
Yes, collared shirt at least. Nice smart skirt or trousers.
They have their Christmas PJs.
Yeah.
Okay. Reindeer ones.
That's a good example of non-posh people with a posh person.
So you got all these non-posh people like Janet Street Porter, and then you've got this person saying,
from EastEnders.
And then him saying, yes, well, you know, a collared shirt at least before you open your presents on Christmas Day.
But you see, they're all loving it. They're all loving, enjoying, throwing themselves into the stereotype.
He's putting it on as well.
And
he's
so
a,
are they.
He's
yeah.
a comedian, right?
No, he's not. He's just
he's kind of a comedian, right?
He's got a brand. He's got a brand. He's selling a brand.
Yeah.
And in a way, so are they.
He's putting it on. He's doing it for the show, right?
I think so.
Let's listen finally then to Danny Dyer.
Go on then.
And this is him calling David Cameron a twat.
Question time.
On live television.
So good.
I think this is the unedited version. I think so. Let's hear it.
No, I don't know anything about Love Island.
It's go back. So this is really weird. So in this scene, you've got...
Because Danny Dyer, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
He is a typical Cockney with the gift of the gab, you know, because he's got all the words. It's quite eloquent what he's like. It's really pleasurable to listen to.
Yeah. Danny Dyer, right, he's an actor, yeah? And he's like, he's a Cockney geezer. Like any of those films, yeah, like the Football Factory or the fucking Football Thug Factory, Two. All of those, like, Guns and Geezers cheap B movies made in England, right? He's one of those. He's one of them geezers, yeah.
Right. Okay.
He's also these days, right? He's in EastEnders as well.
Oh, that's what he's in.
So he's like this young renter Cockney. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Renter Cockney.
It's like you need a Cockney.
I'm it.
I'm the geezer that you need. You know what I mean? So, and that's how he speaks. And so this is a very weird studio. You've got, first of all, who's the presenter? You've got Piers Morgan.
Oh. Yeah.
Who everyone hates, right? Yeah? Except for some
everyone
people,
hates him.
But he's a very hated man. Then you've got, who's the presenter who works on Good Evening or Good Morning Britain with him? What's her name? Susanna Reid, I think?
I don't know.
So she's there. Then you've got, on a separate table, you've got David Ginola, the French footballer. You've got Ed Balls, the former Labour Party Chancellor of the Exchequer. You've got, what's his name? Ari Redknapp, dodgy geezer football manager, Cockney geezer, right? And then a couple of other footballers, I think. You've got Amir Khan, the boxer. And then also, you've got Jeremy Corbyn. And you've got Pamela Anderson.
I remember Pamela Anderson being there.
I don't think I've seen this.
What on earth are they all doing there? And then Danny Dyer starts going on about David Cameron.
Right.
About Brexit.
And Brexit.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about Love Island.
Okay.
There's a scene in Love Island where some of the characters talk about Brexit and no one knows what they're talking about.
Oh, and she's like, is that something to do with, what does that mean?
They don't understand what Brexit means. Yeah. And so Danny Dyer then chimes in.
I quite like the holidays.
He's going, thing is about Love Island, right? Like, no one knows what Brexit is, right? But no one knows what Brexit is. Like, no one understands it. This is his whole point.
Go on.
No, I don't know anything about Love Island.
Listen, go back to that, this whole Brexit thing, when you know, you're judging them on Brexit, they don't know nothing about it. Who knows about Brexit?
Yeah, quite.
No one's got a fucking clue what Brexit is, yeah? You watch Question Time, it's comedy.
Were you no clearer when Jeremy Corbyn explained
Labour's
policy?
No, I ain't got a clue. No one knows what it is. It's like this mad riddle that no one knows what it is, right? So
I love that. It's like this mad riddle.
But he's right.
Yeah,
but
he
even
is.
Saying it, it's like this mad riddle. That's a nice expression. Yeah. That's a nice phrase. He's got lots of language.
No one knows what it is, right? It's like this mad riddle.
Okay, go on, keep
going. It's brilliant, isn't it?
What's happened to that twat David Cameron who called it on?
What's happened to that twat David Cameron who called it on, right? Let's keep listening.
Let's be fair.
I think you're referring to our former Prime Minister.
Yeah, but how comes he can scuttle off? He called all this on.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has no regrets.
Where is he? He's in Europe, in Nice, with his trotters up.
That is where he nails it.
Yeah.
Trotters up, right? Because that is funny. It implies that Cameron is a pig, but it also reminds us of the pig incident. It's a clever use of trotters.
Yeah, the pig incident, I mean, I did talk about it once on the podcast, but the rumour is, and this was in a book that was written by a former Conservative Party chairman who wrote a memoir, and he decided to publish some details about David Cameron's past. It was probably an act of revenge of some kind. But what he wrote in the book was that David Cameron at school joined a little secret society. And in order to join, you know, these posh people, they join their little societies. And in order
to join...
Yeah, he had to go through an initiation ritual and they had to do terrible things. And one of the things he had to do, allegedly, was take the head of a pig, you know, like you can get them from butcher's shops and stuff, mm-hmm. right? So he'd take the head of the pig and he had to, like... Put himself inside the pig's mouth, if you see what I mean. All right, this is the rumor that has gone around.
It is a rumor. It sounds nonsense. But what Danny has done is, you know, he says like scuttled off. It's clever, but then trotters up. It's just
what
it
are trotters though?
Trotters are the feet of pigs.
Yeah. So he's saying he's down there in Nice in the south of France with his trotters up. Meaning he's sitting back.
He's got his feet up. But instead of saying feet, he said trotters, which makes us think of a pig as in he's a pig, but also reminds us subtly of that incident, which at that time was much fresher in everyone's mind. Yeah. And that is mastery of language.
That's brilliant. Also, he's scuttled off. It's something like a little insect would do, like scuttle on four legs, it would scuttle away. Let's just have a little listen to the rest of it.
No one's got a fucking clue what Brexit is, yeah? You watch Question Time, it's comedy.
Were you no clearer when Jeremy Corbyn explained Labour's policy?
No, I ain't got a clue. No one knows what it is. It's like this mad riddle that no one knows what it is, right? So what's happened to that twat David Cameron who called it on? Let's be fair.
I think you're referring to our former Prime Minister.
Yeah, but how comes he can scuttle off? He called all this on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has no regrets.
Where is he? He's in Europe, in Nice, with his trotters up, yeah? Where is the geezer? I think he should be held accountable for it.
I think
he should be held accountable for it.
It's a valid point. A lot of people do feel that all politicians on Brexit have basically conspired to be incompetent at best.
All right. Where is the geezer?
He should be held accounted it. What
he
did
should
say?
Be held account for it, he says.
Account for it.
Meaning
account
he should be held accountable for it, but he should be held account for it.
He's got some great language at some stage and he just...
Sure, he mangled it, but like he nails it. Yeah. And, I mean, I think he...
he should be held account
twat.
For it.
Twat.
In the yeah. twat.
Where is the geezer? I love it. Where is the geezer? Fucking brilliant, innit? Brilliant, innit? We've gone too far in this episode. Yeah. Amber,
I know.
Because you've got to go in half an hour.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do now?
I think that was. Well, I think we've reached the pinnacle of that episode.
Yeah, we have. We've done that episode, but the point is that we don't have time to do another one now, do we?
Well, it depends. I mean, in a normal podcast, yes, we do. But I mean, in your podcast, which are, you know, epic.
Yes. Epically awesome.
Epically awesome.
Uh huh.
We don't.
This is no normal, ordinary podcast, Amber, as you should know.
I think we should have a cup of tea, and then maybe you could do the podcast another one with Paul if he's got time.
Okay. All right. So
yeah, a cup of tea sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do that then, shall we?
So
we're going to leave all these people behind then, right? I've got other people in my list. What are we going to skip them? Are we?
Well, it depends if you've got someone tasty in there.
If they're quick ones, and we're not spending an hour on them.
I don't know. We've done an hour and a half of this podcast already. Yeah, I think right. we should probably call
it
a day.
That's a day. Yeah.
I think that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so guys, I don't know what if there's a conclusion to all of this. I think we've probably worked out that, you know, there's different types of poshness, and some people sound posh and aren't. Some people
I'm still yet to have an example of somebody who's posh but doesn't sound posh.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Well, someone who's posh but doesn't sound posh because, all right, so there's, you know, as I've said lots of times, we've already said it a few times now, there's basically like three types of accent if we're breaking it down to make it simple. There's regional accents, mm-hmm. like Danny Dyer, right? It's like, where is the geezer? He's got like an Essex accent, right? And then there's normal RP, which is basically how we speak,
mm-hmm.
maybe with a few differences, like Sadiq Khan saying, you know, in the evening. Instead of evening,
yeah,
and you with your dropped T's and your glottal stops, right? So there's received pronunciation, which could sound very educated, like Kenneth Branagh, and then there's a received pronunciation, which is a posh accent, and that is this sort of this terribly old-fashioned kind of posh accent, like we heard with Sir Arthur Streeb Griebling,
mm-hmm.
or it's the kind of okay, guys, so. I know. Maybe what we should do now is just go down to the pub and like let's just you know get some beers in. What do you reckon, guys? And you know, like.
But I'm still yet. My point is like I don't know anyone.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Who is either born into a family of poshness, yes. who was educated in very posh schools and universities, who sounds like me.
Wait a minute, but there are people who are really posh but fall into the second category. Which is just a neutral voice like Amber, right? But I don't know if there's anyone who's really posh who goes all the way down to the regional accent category. I can't think of anyone like that. But Prince Harry, and I know this from doing episode two of this series, I was thinking Prince Harry's going to be the perfect example of that modern posh, you know, oh, okay, guys, you know, just going to go and play a bit of rock.
No, I don't think so.
And I listened to him, and he just sounds... I couldn't find any examples of, you know, that sort of... just a rugby player, and, you know, that sort of... You know, that kind of terribly posh sort of... Oh, you know, I'm just going to go and play a little bit of rugger and then go home. You know, there's none of that.
A little bit of rugger.
There's none of that at all. It's just totally neutral.
Yeah.
So I think maybe even Prince Harry's an example
of that. That's probably a good shout.
He's done a really... really, really, really spiffing job of just sounding like an ordinary bloke.
I don't know. I think if you put Harry and Paul next to each other, you'd hear it.
Yeah. But my point is that Harry's not going around going, you know, I'm just an ordinary bloke, guys. You know, just let's go to the pub together and we'll just be the same. Instead, Harry's kind of like, so... what he does have is that tone of voice. He's like, so... I just, you know, I listened to a little bit of the podcast and I just thought it sounded pretty bloody good, actually. Now, that still sounds quite posh.
Yeah.
It doesn't really sound...
I know what you mean, though.
He sounded just normal. He sounded normal, all right. So there you are. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we should. You know, I just think we should try and end the episode by speaking a little bit posh. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think that might be a fantastic way of ending the episode.
Really great, right? Right,
yes.
Guys?
Yes.
Right, fantastic.
No time for a cup of tea, I think.
I think we should put the kettle on. Would you like it if I put the kettle on?
I think you should put the kettle on.
Milk in first.
But, I mean, tiff or miff, darling.
Tiff or miff.
Tea in first or milk in first?
Tea in first or milk in first?
First or fast? Fast.
I do have a habit of putting the milk in fast.
Do you?
I do. I spill it sometimes because I put it in too fast. I put the milk in first, fast.
Ew.
And then I put the tea in fast as well. And my wife says to me, how is that physically possible that you can put the milk in first and then put the tea in first as well? And I say to her, shut up, you silly woman. I'll just drink the tea that I've made for you out of the kindness of my heart.
You sound like the guy out of Gogglebox.
Right.
You know, the posh couple in Gogglebox.
Yeah. They're both sitting on different sized chairs.
Yeah.
So he's sitting up here like this. And then his wife is in a comfortable armchair down here. And he's going, well, you know, you would think that, darling, wouldn't you? Because, you know, you went to a school in Somerset. And she's going, oh, do be quiet. And they're both drunk.
Yeah.
Obviously.
All the time.
Would you like another glass of sherry? I've already had 19 glasses, darling. I think that's just about my limit. Thank you. That's proper posh people.
Yeah.
And on that note, ladies and gents, I think it's time for us to say goodbye. Would you like to join me in a goodbye?
Yeah.
Can we do a posh goodbye?
Yes.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho. Okay, chaps. It's absolutely wonderful to have you on the podcast again. But thank you so much for everyone for listening. And we'll speak to you again soon in some way. But for now, tally-ho.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.